All right, brothers, if you will, begin turning to Romans chapter 1. Our text tonight's going to be Romans 1, verse 17. Looked at 16 and 17 last week, but there's just a lot there. I was reading ahead in Romans to kind of get an idea of what's coming up next, what my points will be, and there's some hard things coming. As I studied, I realized that those things here in the first chapter of Romans come, and the natural man does not want to deal with. This state doesn't want to deal with. This nation doesn't want to deal with. And this world doesn't want to deal with. So I was thankful that tonight's message is going to be very pleasant. I have one more week of gentle, easy things for me studying, you know. And as I studied it, I worked on this passage. I was brought into remembrance that when a man's brought low and Christ is lifted up, the natural man can't stand it. So it doesn't really matter what we're looking at, does it? Brother Richardson once said, "When the gospel is preached, the comfortable are disturbed, and the disturbed are comforted." So it really doesn't matter where we are, does it? But over some of these things, people's been known to leave the gathering of the saints, to leave the church, leave a faithful congregation. But either they can't stand the gospel and they walk away from a faithful congregation, or they know the gospel and they walk away from a congregation that's not faithful, from a pulpit that's not faithful. But if there's a split or a division, it's always because of Christ, not from anything else. The other things may seem like an excuse or a reason, but that's not the reason. It's who Christ is. That's what either for or against. His word doesn't return void. But people want to be comforted. But natural man's comfort's found in things and acts and activities and doing, religion. Anything that keeps them looking to themselves, looking inward. And recently, this past weekend, that famous man here in California died, and him and his family, and everything that's been on the news is always a great man of faith. And everybody wants to justify. There's justification in death. And either we justify the people we want to be justified after they're gone. I'm sure Pol Pot and Adolf Hitler and everybody, they're famous. Well, he's in a better place. Maybe he is, maybe that's between him and the Lord, isn't it? But I wanted to ask myself, do I live by faith? Am I convinced that I'm living by faith? Are you convinced? There in Romans 1:16, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Those justified by God live by faith. Those who know Christ as their wisdom live by faith. Those that know Christ as their righteousness live by faith. Those that know Him as their sanctification live by faith. Those who look to Christ for all their redemption, that's the just. That's the ones that live by faith. But what is this faith? What is this faith that God's people live by? When we look at faith, the natural man thinks some things and God says some things about it, don't he? The natural man thinks it's something inside themselves. Courage or bravery, persistence, diligence, an inner strength. Something in them that they muster up and go forward with. They're looking inside themselves. Most people say, "Well, I have strong faith." No, you don't. You have good self-confidence. True biblical God-given faith is not looking inward. It's looking outward. Best definition I've heard on this is an inner weakness looking to an outer strength. I hope that'll soak into us. I hope that'll soak into me. I hope I can remember that. Faith's not looking at myself. It's not looking at my acts. It's not looking in. It's not looking at Kevin. It's looking to Christ. That's faith. Faith does not look to itself, it looks to Christ. So that faith, what does it do? What does faith do? Faith believes God. Faith looks to Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Marking the wrong place. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now about this race, they're saying there, the Hebrew writer is saying, we have so many witnesses around us. We have so many faithful men speaking the gospel, speaking the truth to us. We have these scriptures the Lord's preserved. Lay aside every weight, every care, every concern, lay it away. And that sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience that race set before us. And how do we do that? Verse 2, Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the author. That means He created it. He wrote it. He began it. It began with Him. And He's the finisher. He's the one that completes it. He sustains it and He keeps it to the end. And if you notice there in verse 2, our is italicized. So, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. All faith. But it's not just our faith only. True faith is authored, sustained, and finished by Christ. If any person has real faith, it came from Christ. And it's finished by Him from beginning to end. But did it really come from Him? Did He give me most of it? Was it in me and I had to encourage it? We know it comes from Him. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ loved me, He gave Himself for me, and because of that, because of His faith, I have faith. Because of His faith, I live. Turn over to Ephesians 2. See if we generate our own faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's the means He uses. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. There's those ofs again. A little two-letter word. That not of yourself. It doesn't originate with man. Man doesn't have any. It's the gift of God. It's from Him. He authored it. He gave it to us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The end of verse 8 there has a colon. So Paul's going to list some stuff. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to immediately show us, not of works, lest any man should boast. That faith's not a work. A man can make a work out of anything. Those several years of my life, I made a work out of not working. I don't do anything that's works. And that controlled me. That soaked me up. That was a work. But Paul's clearly showing here, faith is not a work, it's given. It's given of God. And all true faith is Christ's faith. It's from Him, it's through Him, and it's to Him. So we see now what faith is, we see what faith does, and we see where it comes from. So I want us to look tonight at what does it mean to live by faith. When the Lord gives faith, He convinces men and women of some things. They're convinced of some things. I'm convinced of some things in my life. If I hold a bowling ball up by my head and I let it go, I'm convinced it's going to land on my foot. We know those things. We're convinced of them. But the Lord's people, they live by these things. They're not shaken from them. They're not driven away from them. And they walk in them. And there are four places in this scripture where the phrase, the just shall live by faith, is listed in the whole Bible. And each one of those scriptures, you can read that pretty easy in some commentary and say, oh yeah, there's four places that is. But each one of those things where it's listed, it's not just listed four times, there's something attached to them. There's a phrase attached to the just shall live by faith. That's important. What is it to live by faith? These statements that's going to be attached to the just shall live by faith is going to tell us. I don't want to know what a man thinks. You all don't care to know what I think. I want to know what God thinks. I want to know what He says about it. Don't you? I think He shows us clearly here. First place in Scripture this is listed is Habakkuk 2. If you want to go in the... I marked it. Like Henry said that. You want to know how I got there so fast? He said, I put a paperclip there last night. Go to the end of the Old Testament. Work back four books. So the minor prophets, you got Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. So Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. We are convinced that we are not upright before God. When our souls are lifted up, when my soul's put into view, when it's put on a platform, I can see it. I declare that I'm not upright before God. I'm not perfect. I'm not able to go into His presence. And not just that I'm not perfect. I have some fault. I'm completely worthless. I'm completely depraved. And we declare that it's not upright. It makes man to know he's a sinner. That's living by faith. The Lord gives faith to someone. They take sides against themselves for God, don't they? If we turn to John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 7 says, our Redeemer is speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, here's the first thing he's going to do. He will reprove the world of sin. He will admonish, scold. He'll bring to light. The Holy Spirit comes to a sinner and it reveals what that sin is in him. And of righteousness, who that righteousness is, and of judgment. Our warfare is over. If God's pleased to save a man or woman, the first thing that will happen in them, they'll have a knowledge of sin, they'll have a knowledge of what they are, who they are. They'll know they're depraved, helpless, immoral, and evil. But during this time of struggle, this trial, this self-loathing, you just curled up on your floor crying. As soon as they see their sin, they're a child of God, and that is living by faith. It's understanding your depravity. Being taught that. Being brought to know how low we are to live by faith. To look outward to Him. And the second scripture is ours here tonight, our text in Romans 1:17. So first off, we're convinced we're unrighteousness. Secondly, we're convinced that God is righteous. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. God reveals His righteousness in Christ to us. We're made to see what we are, and then we're made to see who Christ is, what He is. And it's from His Spirit, capital S, to our spirit, lowercase s, the Spirit that He gives us. From His faithfulness to our faith that's given to us. It's communicated. When we're convinced, all of our hope's in Christ. All of our righteousness is His righteousness. And as that's happening, as we're bowing to God and seeing who Christ is, we're living by faith. We're walking in faith. We stop looking to ourselves and looking to what we can do, and we look to what Christ has done. We stop thinking we're right, and we see Christ is right before God. That's righteousness. Everything he does is right in God's eyes. Galatians, we'll turn over to Galatians 2. Galatians 2:21, Paul writes, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's strong wording, isn't it? Very strong. But all these things, these gifts from the Lord to us, our righteousness and sanctification, all those gifts, they're the same. They come together, don't they? They're sisters of grace. So that statement's true. If I do something to gain my own wisdom, if I have to increase myself, Christ died in vain. If I have to do something to gain my own righteousness, as Paul just wrote, Christ died in vain. If I have to do something to gain my own sanctification, Christ died in vain. If I have to do something to redeem myself, he died in vain. Faith makes us bow to that. Makes us believe that. Makes us rejoice in that. Because when we see those things, if we're walking in faith because the Lord's given it to us, we rejoice in that. Everything's done for me. He's done it all. Christ has all and done it all, hasn't he? A third place in scriptures, if you're there in Galatians, turn over chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 11. First, to walk in faith, to live by faith, we are convinced we're sinners. Secondly, we're convinced Christ is all righteousness. And third, we're convinced that we cannot satisfy God through the law. So in Galatians 3:11, it says, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for because the just shall live by faith. It is evident. It's clear, because the just shall live by faith. What's this law? In one way, you can look at Moses' law, the Ten Commandments, the Levitical law. That was to the nation of Israel, wasn't it? We're going to see this more next week, but our fall in Adam. But what we use in modern day language, the law is, it's the Bible. Well, I know the Bible says this. I know the Bible says that. So it's not just the Mosaic law, the Levitical law, but all the precepts in the New Testament. These things that we know. The law says do. The gospel says it's done. That's the difference. Do I have to do these things in this book, or is it already done? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. Moses told us that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. If you do this, you have to live by it. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So in Romans 10, 6, but the righteousness which live by faith speak on this wise. It's going to tell us what our faith, this living by faith, means. In verse 6 and 7, it tells us what not to look to. But in verse 8, it continues. But what saith it? What does that true faith say? Romans 10, 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If we believe in our hearts, that's what we saw, what faith does, it believes God, doesn't it? If I fully believe that Christ was buried and rose again, I believe that, do you? How do I believe that He went into that tomb, that God was made man, came down to become flesh, made like us, walked this world perfect, was lifted on a cross according to the scriptures, died, was buried in the way he said he was going to be in that tomb, and he was risen again. How can I believe that? Living by faith. No. The Lord gives that to us. Gives us the ability to look at that. The new man believes God. He said what he was going to do, and then he did it. I believe that, don't you? He showed us. This cloud of witnesses. But now, do we ignore that law? Do we ignore the scriptures? Do we ignore these precepts that's given to us because we're not under them? God forbid, what Paul said. That's silly, isn't it? We want to respect our Lord, honor our Lord. Do I go against those things? David said, I love your holy law. Someday, every one of us, all of God's elect, will be made in the image of Christ. We'll be made like Him. We won't know sin. I probably dwell on those things too much. What's going to be like when I'm gone? What when I go home? The mind, human mind on this world can't enter those things. I won't have sin. You won't have sin. And we'll be living that way. And we won't know any different. Be able to approach God and worship Him truly as He deserves to be worshipped. Fourthly, Hebrews 10. So living in faith, we're convinced of sin. Living in faith, we're convinced that Christ is all our righteousness. Living in faith, we see that we can't come to God through that law, but Christ fulfilled that law. And finally, we're convinced that our Lord will keep us to the end. Hebrews 10, verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What that means is it's Christ or nothing. If we draw back to the law, if we draw away from Christ to have a work to do, if we draw away from the law, the precepts in these scriptures, to our faith, if I don't look to Christ, if I look to, well, I have strong faith in me. If we draw back to adding a little bit of self in the mix in any way, God will not accept it. That's living by faith. We don't look to ourselves. We don't draw back from Christ to something else. We look to Him, don't we? The Lord keeps His sheep and none will be lost. I saw that several times the other day in John. The Father spared not His own Son for His elect. He gives us the faith to believe on Him. Do you think He'll keep that faith? He'll grow us in that faith? If He can keep me to the end and raise me up, I'm confident He can keep me looking to Christ during that time, can't He? Keep me living by faith. Living by Christ's faithfulness. And it says there in verse 39, Hebrews 10, 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Who's that? We're just this group of people that's just so good that we're not going to fall away. We're too strong to fall away. No, the first thing He taught us was our weakness. Here He's teaching us, I'll keep you. We ain't the ones that fall back. Lord's people, He keeps us. Now, out of those four things, back in our text, Romans 1, verse 17, true faith grows. It says there in verse 17, it's revealed from faith to faith. And that does mean that from His faith to our faith, from His capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the lowercase Spirit in us, the new man in us. But it also means it's revealed from one degree of faith to the next degree of faith. As we learn these things, like any grace from God, we grow. We grow in that. He grows us. We grow and believe in God and see more clearly His holiness and His righteousness, and we see more clearly what we truly are and how lowly we are, how in need we are. We're grown to understand that we walk through this world living by faith. But we're grown to understand that because of that faith given, that's why we live. We have life because of the source of our faith, eternal life. So many people worry about living in faith. That's how I'll have eternal life. Christ's faith. Here, that's wonderful. It makes for an easier life, an easier way to address trials, an easier way to not looking inward, looking outward. True faith, looking to Christ, it makes those things easier to deal with, doesn't it? It's comforting. But the end state of all that is true life. It says they shall live by faith. We shall. That's how it's going to happen. Shall have eternal life by Christ's faith. But we believe on Christ and will forever be in His likeness, worshiping Him for what He's accomplished. And then our faith will be sight, won't it? We'll see Him. That's how it turns. I hope that was a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us. We're so prone to wander. The path we wander is to ourselves. So prone to look inward. We have nothing but worry and anxiety and stress and fear and hopelessness. Turn our hearts, Lord. Give us true faith. Let us live in the faith here on this earth, looking to Christ. And because of His faith, Lord, give us eternal life through Him. We need You to give it to us. Thank You for showing us what we are and in part. And thank You for showing us what Christ is and what He's accomplished. Keep us always looking to Him, Lord, and be with our brethren everywhere. As they meet tonight, give them hearts to hear Your word and rejoice. Make us rejoice, Lord, in them. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.